Let's start. The topic is sin. Open up to page 1, lesson number 4. The topic is sin. And I see it this way, this sin, it is breaking God's law. But we're trying to focus a lot this year on establishing a real good friendship with Jesus Christ. That's where our thrust is, friendship with Christ. So we sin and we're hurting our friendship with Christ. They see it that way. The sin is breaking the commandment, but it's breaking God's heart. It's much more personal, right? Breaking a commandment is true. Breaking one of the commandments. But we don't want to sin by breaking God's heart. It's much more personal, much more understandable, right? So I'm going to pray that we get to know. We're going to try to form our conscience in this class to know what is good and what is bad. And we have to go through the whole concept of sin. In Spanish, it's called el pecado, sin. You see the picture, there's a man, and then there's a chasm. See? Chasm, you see that dip there? No. So sin, it separates us from God. So we don't want to be separated from God. We want to be united to God. Okay? So sin separates. Prayer unites. And prayer unites us with God. In Holy Communion, God comes within us, the body and blood of Christ. Nothing greater than that. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so sin is, this is kind of a big word, but we have to learn some religious vocabulary, okay? Transgression. You ever hear that word? I didn't think so. So, write this in there. Transgression. Transgression. Sin is a transgression of the divine law. Sin is an offense against God. The Blessed Trinity. Did we talk about the Blessed Trinity last week?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you give me a brief explanation what the Trinity is?
It's three people, one God.
Okay, good. Okay. And who's the first person?
The Father.
How about the second? How about the third? Look, the first is the Father, the second is the Son, and the third is the Holy Spirit. Does the second person have a name?
Yes.
What's his name? How many natures in Jesus? Who are, what are they? The? Good. Okay, so the human means he's man, and the divine means he's God. Very good. Very good. You guys are learning a lot. Okay, the second question is, at Fatima, remember Our Lady of Fatima appeared 100 years ago to those three little kids, Jacinta, Francisco, and Lucia? And the last apparition, there was a miracle of the sun. The sun was spinning around. It looked like it was going to cascade to the earth. And the 80,000 people were there. A lot of them fell to their knees, and they were begging God forgiveness for their sin. And then after that, shortly after that, within a year and a half, two of them died, Jacinta and Francisco. It was the older cousin, Lucia, went on to become a nun and died. She was close to 100 years old. Okay? So there's the message of Fatima. Mary said to pray and offer up sacrifices, especially to pray the rosary, what we just did. So looking very sad, Our Lady said, do not offend the Lord our God anymore because he is already so much offended. So sin is we're offending God. So number two, he is already so much offended. Why did she say this? One can almost sense the sadness. Sadness with which this plea came directly from Our Lady's heart. No one knows the meaning of sin more than Our Blessed Lady. Of all God's creatures, no one's heart is as filled with God's love as the heart of Mary. So she understands the gravity interpret gravity in two different ways. This is one interpretation of gravity. What goes up comes down, right? You learn that in physics, right? But also gravity means seriousness, okay? So gravity in the moral, spiritual sense means that it's serious. Sin is serious because Jesus was nailed to the cross because of our sins. That's serious. Okay. The gravity of offending God, who is all good and worthy of all our love. To see God offended by our sins is an enormous suffering. Enormous suffering for one so filled with His love. In addition, she understands the price. The price that love paid for sin. So right now you can have four words that show us the price of what Jesus paid to save our sins. And all of this is related to what's called Good Friday. Any of you know what happened on Good Friday or Viernes Santo? What happened on Good Friday or Viernes Santo? No, that would be Easter Sunday. What happened before He rose from the dead? He was crucified. So we're going to be writing four different things that happened related to suffering. Okay, the death of her son on the cross. Now the Romans would crucify criminals. Some would be crucified with nails, others would be crucified with ropes. And those who were on the rope, were crucified with ropes, would be on the cross sometimes a day or 2 days, even 3 days, and eventually the body would start to sink and they'd suffocate to death. Their body would start to kind of sink because, you know, you try to imagine you're holding yourself up. 72
hours.
Yeah, and eventually you can't, your muscles can't resist anymore. And what happens is your body starts to sink and you can't get enough air into your lungs. If you don't get enough air into your lungs because you have to exhale and inhale, you're actually suffocating. That was one of the principal reasons why Jesus died. He died of suffocation. So he was nailed, he had to pull himself up, then he'd go down, up and down. You do that for a minute, 10 minutes, half hour, 2 hours, you arrive at a point where you can't do it anymore. You're just too weak.
Father, is that why they don't drop the other guy's legs?
Yes.
Push up?
Yeah, the other thieves, their legs were broken so they could no longer sustain themselves, and their bodies just sunk, and they couldn't get any more air into their lungs. So. Okay, what else, though? He was scourged. What does scourge mean? You know what scourge means?
Bumped.
Nope. Whipped. So they took it off his clothes, they bound him to a pillar, and they got, any of you see the film of Mel Gibson? Remember it? They first used sticks, and then what did they use after the sticks?
It was like a whip.
It's called, don't write it in, but I just want you to see how it's written. The Roman flagellum. And it was like a whip, and it had like a ball, like a baseball, and attached to it were spikes. And the spikes would be like a, it would be like a nail or a piece of glass or a goat's bone. So it was razor sharp. So they were just slicing his body. If you saw that movie from Mel Gibson, his body was basically an open wound.
What part of the goat?
What?
What part of the goat did they eat?
I'm not sure. They could have maybe just broken a part of the goat's bone, the sharp part, and attached it to that whip with little rings, and then boom, boom. It's almost like being sliced by a butcher, the way the butcher slices meat. Hmm? Of course.
No, I felt like it's
okay, well, you had just a mini experience of it, okay? God allowed you to suffer that, so you understand how much Jesus suffered for you. So remember that, huh? Okay, so... Okay, he was scourged, crowned with, what, he was crowned with what? Thorns.
Wasn't there three of them that was trying to kill him?
three crowns? Much more than three. There was probably like 100. They went outside and they found there were thorn bushes and they cut some of the branches and they wove a crown and then they pressed it into his head. Now, if you've ever seen a thorn bush, some thorns can be small, others can be medium-sized, other thorns can be really, really big and very sharp. I mean, say, for example, if the thorn is about an inch big and someone presses it in your head, it's going to arrive at your brain. Because from here to your brain, it's not too far away. So Jesus suffered a lot. So put that, if you look at pictures, it almost like looks like a helmet. They wove it around, there seemed to be a top on it, like a soldier's helmet. And then he was mocked and spat upon. Now of all of the insults, for I were to call you a bad name, you'd be bad. But I were to spit in your face, that's about the worst thing, right? Talk about all insults, spitting in someone's face is about the worst it can get. So they spat in his face. And he didn't even try to defend himself. And lastly, nails were driven into his hands. And most likely, I'm going to say something that might surprise you, they were dull nails rather than sharp nails. Because if they're sharp nails, one pounding would have gone through. But if they're dull, it's going to take more than one pounding. So that means it would have been even more painful, no? You got one nail and one pounding, okay, it hurts, but goes through. But if hit three times is painful. Nails are driven into his hands and feet, and his heart was pierced. Pierced by a spear. Do you remember when that happened?
Yeah.
How did it happen? Don't know? How did it happen?
One of the soldiers poked him.
Pierced. So he thrust the thorn.
And then water came out?
Water and what else? Blood and water. Did that hurt Jesus? What do you think?
Yes.
Gabriel, why didn't it hurt him? He was already dead. Did it hurt someone though?
Yes.
Who did it hurt?
His mother,
because she was standing underneath the cross, right? Imagine now you're on the cross and you die and your mom is underneath the cross and they see someone come with a sword and goes right through the heart that she formed within her womb for 9 months. Man, your mother would probably faint. But Mary didn't faint. She stood underneath the cross. She wanted to suffer with Jesus. Even though that was painful for Jesus to see his mother there, it gave him consolation because he knew that was the person who loved him most. The person who loved him most that wanted to suffer as much as she possibly could with him. Okay, this is what sin means to Our Lady. So aside from Jesus, there's no one that suffered so much as Mary. She suffered with him and suffered for our salvation. You ready?
Yes.
How else is God offended? He is offended because his love is refused. This is pretty painful, and I pray that it will never happen. One day you come home, and you're in a really good mood from school, and you draw close to your mother, and you're saying, Mom, I really love you. She says, well, I don't love you anymore. Yeah? Right? That would kill you. She's never going to say that. But we're saying that because Jesus loved, but they rejected his love. Got it? He loved so much, but they rejected anyway. But the incredible thing is that even though his love was rejected, he still loved them back anyway. That's the most incredible thing. They rejected him, but he's loved them anymore. You know what the first thing he said on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. First thing he said, did you know that? He said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. So he's practicing mercy. And mercy is God forgiving the sinner. God loving and forgiving the sinner. Okay, next. How? His children lose their spiritual beauty and become slaves. Slave to sin. You guys study history in school?
Yeah.
American? Ever hear of Abraham Lincoln?
Yeah.
During the Civil War, right?
Yeah.
What was the primary cause of the Civil War? Yeah. And remember, the law was the Emancipation Proclamation, right? So back then, there were slaves. And it's basically the African people came here and they were buying them and selling them as slaves. And because of Civil War, there was a South against the North, and millions of people actually died. And the biggest industry was the fake limbs industry, because a lot of the arms and legs were blown off by cannonballs, and that was one of the biggest industries back after the Civil War. Well, here's the question for you. Okay, there were slaves. Are there modern slaves? Is there anything called a modern slavery? Think about it in a spiritual sense. So you got physical slavery, but moral or spiritual slavery. How would it be? Okay, sin. Can you give me an example of someone? You know what? You ever hear the word an addiction? An addiction? You ever hear the word addiction? What may be an addiction? Drugs? Drinking? The casino? Gambling? Horse races? How about, you know, your moms might even be addicted to going to the store and buying. They want to just buy. Is that true? Yeah, even though they have enough clothes, they go and they buy. There's a certain compulsion. They want to have more and more and more. And you become a slave to that. So we can become addicted to anything. But if we have this real great love for Jesus Christ, then we're not going to have addictions. Because the love for Him is much greater. But sin is a slavery. Like a drug addict, he's got to get his fix. Or an alcoholic, got to drink. Or the gambling, got to go to the casino. As soon as he gets his check, boom, off to the casino. No? Off to Las Vegas. No? When you see a sad face, someone who goes to Las Vegas. Some a sadder face, the person comes back from Las Vegas, right? Right? I know what you're thinking. Well, it depends if he wins. But even if he wins, he'll say, oh, if I stayed an extra couple hours, I would have won an extra $10,000. No? Right? Money and material things really can't buy us happiness. Money can buy you pleasure, but not happiness. Pleasure is different than happiness. Pleasure depends upon external stimuli. Joy, happiness, is from within. So you could have no material things, but you could be really joyful. Like St. Francis of Assisi, right? St. Francis didn't have anything. He was very joyful because he had God. And you know that the richest person in the world and the poorest person in the world is going to end up in the same place, 6 feet beneath the ground. Huh? Is that true? No one is going to escape death, huh? No one is going to escape death. Yesterday in class, we were talking about people being slaves of money. What is probably the most famous movie that ever came out? I think you guys saw it. It came out six or seven different something much more famous than that. You ever hear the Christmas Carol?
Yeah.
Charles Dickens? Bah humbug! Bah humbug! Never heard that expression?
Yeah.
Ebenezer Scrooge?
Yeah.
You guys never saw that movie? It's probably the most famous movie in the world almost, huh? You've heard of it, right? You remember? It was a man that was very, very rich, and he was taking advantage of Bob Cratchit, his worker, making him work all the way up until Christmas Eve. Then he had the dream of the past, the present, and the future. Right? The past and the present, the dream showed how greedy he was. And then the future took him to the cemetery. The ghost smartly took him to the cemetery and pointed to the gravestone. Ebenezer Scrooge. He born in 1800 and he died 18 question mark. And he wakes up, opens up the window, and it's snowing, and there's a boy there with a sled. And he says to the boy, "Sonny, is the big turkey still in the marketplace?" "Yes, sir." He throws outside the window a huge bag of money. "Go and buy it for me." So he buys it, brings it, and he goes to his worker's house. He knocks on the door. "Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas." So the whole message is that we're more happy when we learn to give to others than to hold it on ourselves. We don't want to be greedy, do we? Yes, sir.
Do you use a lot of different strokes?
Different what?
Different strokes.
What do you mean, different? Is that a movie?
TV program.
Oh, different strokes. No, I never heard of it before.
Have you seen
Yes. You ever hear the one, the Three Stooges? Moe said to it was Curly that said to Moe, "Moe, I can't see. I can't see. I can't see." And he said, "Why?" "Because I got my eyes closed." Ah! Slapstick comedy, right? Yeah. Do you like the Three Stooges, huh? That's why we're so intellectual, right, Paul? Okay, next. To the ways his children lose their spiritual beauty and become slaves to sin, to the ways of Satan, and to death because of sin, the gates of heaven are closed to them. Who are responsible for the closing the gates of heaven? Partially, but two people. Nope. Adam and Eve. Ever heard of Adam and Eve?
Yeah.
What was the sin that they committed? Original sin. It doesn't say the apple, it says the forbidden fruit. Okay. Maybe it was an apple, but it was the forbidden fruit. No, who knows? Maybe it was a coconut. It doesn't say. It says the forbidden fruit. Maybe a taco. I don't know. Probably not a taco, no? Okay, how do sinners become slaves to sin? By giving in to disordered passions. Okay, there are three ways that we have here. Passions of the flesh. What do you think is better? To get married in the church or to start to live with your girlfriend? Okay. Good, married in the church. So first get married in the church. A lot of people start to live together. You know, really common today. And what do they say? Well, we have to see, you know, if we're compatible. We have to see what we got chemistry. I think it really works out. Is that what they say today? I got to have chemistry. You have to see if it really works out. In the meantime, they're living in sin and they can't go to confession, can't go to communion. Yesterday, I was talking with a lady after class. "Father, you talked about confession. Can I go to confession? I'm still living with my boyfriend. You know, how long have we been with him?" 14 years. Ah! 14 years, yeah. She said, "Well, you know, we want a fiesta, una pechanga. You know, una fiestita, una pechanga." Huh? She said that she, well, we're thinking about it for 14 years, but we want a big party.
But you've been thinking about a wedding?
14 years, yeah, but they have the money for the party.
So you
know what I say? Forget about the party. Just have a lawn party. Now get caterers to come in. Yeah, you know, a Mexican, mariachi, yeah. And, yeah, instead of, you know, throwing $20,000 to the wind, you can do that in $1,000. Really good caterers, mariachi, really good cake, no? Maybe some carrot cake with some, a little bit of vino tinto de Jalisco, no? Yeah. Celery. Yeah. But, you know, they're waiting for the party. 14 years. Basically your age almost, no? So, you know, and that, you know, they think it's really the devil. The devil, I say, la filosofía de la mañana. You know what that is? La filosofía de la mañana. What does that mean? Do it tomorrow, 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 tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. No hurry. What? You ever hear that before? It's pretty common. You know, when I arrived, Paul, most people were married in the church. Nowadays, I mean, so many people are living together. So many people. Yeah. What I do is I go after them. I ask them, are you married in the church? So you got to get married in the church. I know, Father. Every time I see them, I go after them, and then they see me, and then they run away. Not seeing them. You know, I'm going to be like a bug. I'm going to be like a mosquito. One of those chihuahua dogs that are always barking at you, you know? Ever see a chihuahua? It's small. When it barks up a storm, here comes Father Chihuahua. He's going to bark. He'll be barking at us, huh? I don't give up, though. I'm going to win. All right, so the second would be desire for material possessions. Desire for material possessions. Do you know the Beatles used to sing, money can't buy me love? Well, it doesn't come from the gospel, but it's true, money can't buy you love. Only God can give you true love and happiness, right? Self-indulgence in pride. You write that in there, pride? You know what pride is? You think you're big stuff. You think you're the big banana. You're the big man on campus, no? You're the best, no? You brag. I'm number one. I'm important. I won the game. I got straight A's. You got straight F's. I got brains. You're in third grade for the fourth year in a row, and I'm heading toward Harvard, no? Come on. Pobrecito, no? Okay, number 7. To be freed from slavery to death, to the works and pomps of Satan, do we need a Savior, a Redeemer?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely, yeah. And then put a exclamation mark next to it. Good. Okay, who is the Redeemer?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ is the Redeemer. Do you know that in my radio program today, I did talk about that. I talked about Jesus Christ in my radio program from 1 to 2. I was explaining what the word Jesus means, and I was telling people it means Savior. And I spoke about Christ. It comes from the Greek. You're a Greek scholar, the Cairo. Christ means the anointed one. So Jesus is the King, Savior. That's really what it means. And the Cairo, the Christ means the anointed one, because they would anoint kings back in the time of David. And they were anointed with special oil. Okay, now, what is meant by the redemption? By the redemption is meant that Jesus Christ is the Redeemer of the whole human race, offered his sufferings and death to God as a fitting sacrifice. was right on the tip of your tongue, right, Gabrielle? As a fitting sacrifice, in satisfaction for the sins of men, and regain for them the right to be children of God and heirs of heaven. Briefly, the redemption means Christ
rose.
But what did he do before? What did he do before he rose?
Pray.
What?
Pray.
He died. He died for our sins. He died for our sins. Now this seems to be somewhat paradoxical. It means to be a contradiction. He died so that we might live. How about that? Ever think about that? He died so that we might live. So him dying, he allows us to live forever in heaven. That's why we should love him so much. Hmm? There's only one person that died and rose and never will die again, and that's Jesus Christ, right? We die, our souls is going to go to heaven, but Jesus died and he rose from the dead. Whereas he actually did rise three people from the dead. Lazarus, Jairus, and the widow of Nain. But they had to die again. And once Jesus rose from the dead, he was not going to go back to the tomb again. So that's the most important element of Catholic faith, is the resurrection. Easter. Right? You know, Jesus rose from the dead. When I say Easter, you don't think about the Easter bunny, but rather the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. That's much more important than the Easter bunny, right? Okay, next. It was his loving obedience. All of you, you love to obey your parents, right? Parents tell you to do something. Mom, I was waiting for you to tell me to wash the toilets. I was just waiting for you. Thank you. I'm going to do it right away, Mom. No? Probably not, huh? I'll do it tomorrow, right? Get my older brother to do it. I did it last week, huh? Well, we have to learn how to obey. Jesus obeyed so much that he was obedient even to being nailed to the cross. Obedient to his Father, even to the extreme of dying on the cross which redeemed us. The disobedience of Adam and of all others who have listened to the devil and sin, or will sin, had offended the Father deeply because he loves us. But the act of love of Christ dying on the cross was more pleasing to the Father than our sins were displeasing to him. So our sins were bad, but his dying on the cross was much better than our sins. Right? Our sins are pretty bad, but him dying on the cross went way beyond our sins. Yeah.
Okay, so I have a joke for you.
A joke?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Why is my boyfriend cheating on me? And then she's like, oh, he works for Uber.
Oh. Let's move on, huh? The one who shared most in this, because he was pleased the Father accepted the sacrifice of his Son. He took him to heaven as a sign that he will take all others there who will share in the sacrifice of his Son. We're getting close. The one who shared most in this way was Mary. She reversed Eve's action. Eve refused God's will and brought
death
into the world. So Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, and one of the effects was we all have to die. So because of original sin, we all have to die one day. When we're going to die, only God knows. But we all have to die because of the sin of Adam and Eve.
But what if
Well, we don't know what would happen, no? But they did eat the fruit, right? Now, all of us are tempted. We all have our own forbidden fruit that we want to grab onto, right? Maybe it's not exactly the fruit on the top of the tree, but there are many. We're all tempted in many ways, right? You ever have bad thoughts? Where do they come from? They come from the devil, right? You ever have mind games, kind of ugly thoughts upstairs? It's the devil working on us. And we have to try to call out to Mary. Yeah, say Hail Mary, and then the devil takes off. The devil's afraid of Mary.
So can't you just like
mention the name of Mary or Jesus, or you say, Jesus help me, Mary help me, and the devil is aware of that, and the devil takes off. But if you don't pray, you're going to sin. We're not going to be able to avoid sin if we don't pray a lot. Remember the apostles in the garden when Jesus was praying and he sweat blood? What were the apostles doing? They were sleeping, right? And then when he's arrested, what do? They ran away, right? Because they fell asleep during their prayer. Ever happened to you? You're praying, and all before you know it, you're kind of dozing off. Hmm? When I was in Buenos Aires, there was a really holy sacristan that was once a week he'd try to spend the whole night in prayer. He said spend the whole night in prayer, but what happened? He would start to doze off. And they said, well, it's very interesting. As soon as he got up and he went to the refrigerator, he was wide awake. Trying to pray, he was falling asleep. When he opened up the refrigerator, saw all those goodies, oh, he was wide awake. Wonder if I were to tell these boys, okay, let's go in the church. Let's kneel down for an hour on the cold marble floor for an hour. Or let's go to Baskin Robbins. Let's get some ice cream. I see. You still have to be converted, you guys. You're thinking more about your belly than your soul, right? See, we still have to go through conversion, right, Paul? We're still on the way, huh? Okay, so number Mary, she reversed Eve's action. Eve refused God's will and brought death into the world. Mary accepted God's will and brought the Redeemer. The Redeemer into the world, who won eternal life for us. He won eternal life for us. What were the chief sufferings of Christ? Chief sufferings of Christ were his bitter agony of soul, his bloody sweat, his cruel scourging, his crowning with thorns, his what's the word? C-R-U-C-I? Crucifixion. And his death on the cross. When did Christ die? Christ died on
Friday.
What's it called? What day? Good Friday. Good Friday. Not bad Friday. Good Friday. What? You know how you say it in Spanish? Spanish is a little bit different. They say Viernes Santo. So holy, the Hispanics say Holy Friday. We say Good Friday. Good Friday. Okay, where did Christ die? Okay, here's a new word for you. He died on Golgotha. Golgotha. Christ died on Golgotha, a place outside the city of Jerusalem. So what do we learn from the sufferings and death of Christ? From the sufferings and death of Christ, we learn God's love for man and the evil of sin. God's love for man and the evil of sin. We learn about the mercy of God who wants to forgive our sins and make us sons and daughters. Number 14. How does the mercy of Christ flow to us from the cross to the resurrection of Christ? It comes to us in the church. Now, when you get older, you might even hear people who say this, well, you know, I really love God, but I don't want to go to church. You can't say that, because God is present in the church. One definition of the church is the mystical body of Christ. Some people say, well, on Sunday, I prefer to go out in the park and just be in contact with Mother Nature. With Mother Nature, that's my way of glorifying God, looking at the sun, moon, and the stars, and the sky, and the beautiful flowers, and the animals, and you can't do that. Nothing wrong with that. But you got to go to church because you have to receive the Eucharist. You have to receive Holy Communion. You can't receive Holy Communion out there in the park, right? Nothing wrong with nature. But if you're going to be a good follower of Christ, you got to love the church. You got to stay in the church. You got to receive the sacraments. A lot of people jump ship and they give up the church. Don't do that.
Yeah. Can't you also go to Mass on Saturday?
That's right. It's called the Vigil Mass. So if you can't make it on Sunday because you have to, something very important, we've got a Mass here at 6 o'clock, and that's good for the Sunday Mass. It's called the Vigil Mass. But here you have a lot of Masses. Know how many Masses we have here? Saturday evening, Sunday 6:15, Sunday 8 o'clock, two Masses at 10 o'clock, Mass at 12, Mass at 2, Mass at 5, Mass at 7. What more do you want? 7 o'clock. So if so many different Masses, someone says, well, I don't have enough time to go to the Mass. You're lying. You just don't want to go. You have different priorities, right? God should, Mass on Sunday is number one. Nothing more important. Like if you're sick in the hospital, you're being operated on, okay, you don't have to go that day. Okay? But aside from that, if you're not sick, you have to go to Mass on Sunday. And I don't even like to say you have to go. You should pray for the grace to want to go to Mass. You go to daily Mass, Paul?
Yes.
You like it?
Yes.
Gabriel, you'll go to daily Mass?
Yes.
With your mom and dad and your brothers and sisters? You like to do that? Yeah. You know, he goes to daily Mass. Paul goes to daily Mass. I go to daily Mass too. What? Of course. I hope you become one too. You'll be able to celebrate Mass every day. Okay, so how does the mercy of Christ flow to us from the cross to the resurrection of Christ? He comes to us in the church, especially in the sacraments. How many sacraments are there? Can you name the seven sacraments? Can you? Baptism?
Baptism, first.
Communion?
Reconciliation?
Confirmation?
Matrimony?
And? Right, you got them. Those are seven sacraments, yep.
Yeah.
Very good. Those are seven sacraments. Those sacraments really fill us with God's grace. And we become gangbusters, be able to really live holy lives when we receive the sacraments. Okay, next. What does the church, so especially in the sacraments, in prayer and in good works, okay? In good works. So you have to try to help out other people. What does the church teach? Okay, what does the cross teach? The cross teaches the evil of sin, the love of God, which is always greater than sin, the power of the cross and resurrection that heals us and makes us better person. Is Jesus alive?
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely, right? What does he want? He wants to have an encounter with us. He wants to have an encounter with us. He wants to meet us. Where? In the sacraments, in prayer, in reading the scripture, and in helping the poor. So in sacraments, in prayer, reading the scripture, and helping the poor. What happens? The Lord does not disappoint those who take this risk. Whenever we take a step toward Jesus, we come to realize that He is already there waiting for us with open arms. He's waiting for us with open arms. He's on the cross with the open arms, waiting to receive us. Okay. Now, will Christ accept us back after we fall?
Yes.
Okay. How good it feels to come back to Him whenever we are lost. Is there a certain number of times that once we've failed God and say, no more? So it's limitless, right? As long as we turn back to Him and say, we're sorry, He'll always forgive us. He'll always forgive us. And Pope Francis once said, God never gets tired of forgiving us, but we get tired of asking for forgiveness. Got that? So God never gets tired of forgiving us, but we get tired of asking Him for forgiveness because of our pride. Because of our pride. Okay, next. Let me say this once more. God never tires of forgiving us. Forgiving us. We are the ones who tire of seeking His mercy. Mercy. Will Christ bring us joy?
Yes.
With a tenderness which never disappoints. With a tenderness that never disappoints. But is always capable of restoring our joy. Our joy. Want to learn an acronym for joy? Ready? It has to be this order. This has to be first, second, third. Ready? There you have an acronym. You put Jesus first, others second, and you last joy. Amen? Try it. Put Jesus first. He needs to be number first. Then serving others. When you put yourself last, you're going to be joyful. The opposite of that would be selfishness. Me, myself, and I. The egotistic trinity. Me, myself, and I. Me, myself, and I. No, it's got to be Jesus, serving others, and think about yourself last. Try it. Okay, finally, He makes it possible for us to lift up our heads and to start anew. Let us not flee from the resurrection of Jesus. Let us never give up, come what will. May nothing inspire more than His life, which impels us onwards. Paul, can you take over? Hey, God bless you. See you Mass on Sunday. Huh?